This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
I've got Darcy Kent in here with me today. Hello, Darcy.
Hello, joy to be here.
And you're part of Red Stitch.
Yeah, I'm part of Red Stitch Actors Theatre, which is Australia's kind of leading ensemble-led theatre.
Now, what is that? Tell people that might not understand what an ensemble
for sure.
is.
So, essentially, we based it off the Steppenwolf model. Red Stitch started in 2001, Steppenwolf being a company that started in Chicago in the US. But essentially, it's run by actors. So, there's a group of about maybe 10, 12 of us that choose the plays that get put on where, you know, we're behind a lot of the marketing. I do the marketing, I run the Instagram, that kind of thing. So it's run by actors and we all work together and put shows on every year. So
fantastic.
Really collaborative, amazing, communal kind of process.
And I love some of the stuff that you choose as well. You know, like some really well known.
Yeah.
Along with, you know, like brand new pieces as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, we really cut our teeth as a company, like bringing in incredible new American and English work. And we've diversified over the last few years. I mean, we did the Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf last year, which was a massive hit.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of what we're known for. So yeah, I love being there. It's an amazing company.
Now tell us about you. You know, like what's your background as an actor?
Actor, voice artist. I do a bit of teaching as well. I mean, you got to be a jack of all trades.
Of course you do.
In this industry. But I studied at 16th Street Actors Studio here in St. Kilda, back in 2012, and then I did my master's in classical acting in London. At the Royal Central School of Speech and Drama, where Judy Dench went.
Wow. And what was that like? You know, like being in a place where famous people have passed through.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, like studying and doing Shakespeare when you're only 5Ks from, you know, where the Globe originally was pretty unbelievable. And you know, the London theatre scene is just so vibrant and so alive, and it was really nice to just be in a place where people, even cabbies, were just talking about the plays that they'd seen, you know?
It's
an incredible culturally there. It's just really entrenched.
How hard was it to get in? You know, like, and a big step for you. You know,
huge.
You would have had to pay your own way.
Yeah. I mean, luckily I got a scholarship from the school as well, which is pretty incredible. But it's hard to get into. Yeah. A master's degree, it's pretty exclusive. I did a audition in Sydney, flew up to Sydney and then called back and then, and then went over for a year just before kind of COVID hit.
So wow, I finished up lucky.
Finished in 2019 and came back to Australia and then boom. But yeah.
And are you, you know, like, is there enough work out there for you? Because you do move away from Red Stitch at time if the opportunity comes along. Mm-hmm. Are you doing much work?
Yeah, so I did the Warnie television movie on Channel 9 last year, and I do a bit of theatre, like a 45 Downstairs. You just had someone on there. I do a lot of work there as well.
Yep.
But you know, a lot of my stuff is also I work for the Man Cave. I'm a facilitator there, so working with young boys, like helping them with their mental health and stuff like that.
Oh, lovely.
Talking about their feelings.
Yep.
So I love that kind of work as well. And then doing voice work. So some of the ads you might even have on this radio station.
Right.
Voiced by me, potentially.
Okay.
So
and the pays the bills.
Yeah, yeah.
And you mentioned a bit of teaching, you know, like helping youth.
Mm.
But do you teach as well?
Yeah,
acting?
I teach acting as well at the National Theatre, and also at 16th Street Actors Studio as well. So teaching Shakespeare.
What is it about Shakespeare? In a small little way, you know, like give us your version of Shakespeare.
Okay, so I mean, look, I think why his works kind of survived. I mean, a lot of people, you know, are justifiably a bit like, well, why is he relevant now? But it's really interesting. Like the time that he was living in, he was living with the Puritan government, which were essentially like they were censoring so many writers and so many artists. So he had to be very careful with how he was political, and so therefore he used a lot of metaphor and a lot of symbolism in his plays to kind of, you know, poke fun at the government, poke fun at the monarchy and stuff without getting himself, you know, his head cut off, essentially, which happened to a bunch of artists from the time. So
yeah.
I think that's meant that 400 years later, his work is still, it's kind of a time, but also not of any time in some ways. And so there's the fantastical worlds that the characters exist in kind of speak to anyone living in any period. And they're just very human stories. I mean, there's stories about death, there's stories about jealousy, there's stories about love, you know, and no matter what time period we're living in, we're going through that, you know.
Oh, well, and all the Greek plays as well.
And he was hugely influenced by all of those, you know. Like he read Ovid's Metamorphosis and was just enamored by those stories. And then, you know, Midsummer Night's Dream is directly influenced by all those Greek stories.
And and what I love about it is a lot of productions now, you'd set in modern day or in a totally different era to the original, which is really exciting. Okay, well, tell us about this a new play that and by somebody very famous as well.
Oh, yeah. This play, another great name, A Case for the Existence of God by Samuel D. Hunter.
That's brilliant.
Really good. And yes.
And who is he?
Well, he actually wrote the play version of The Whale, which was a film that came out with Brendan Fraser last year and cleaned up at the Academy Awards. He actually wrote the screenplay for the film of that.
Oh, did he?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
I didn't realize
that. So he was actually, you know, really integral in bringing that to the screen. This is his, you know, his next kind of big work after that. And it follows essentially two men in a small mortgage brokerage in Idaho that really don't have that much in common. You know, one of them is queer, black mortgage broker, you know, comes from a fairly well-off family. The other one is poor, white, straight. They really don't have much in common, but they both have children, both have daughters, and they connect over being fathers. And Samuel D. Hunter really wanted to write a story. I listened to an interview with him the other day, and he was really just talking about the fact that a lot of the time when we see male relationships on stage, they're either going to fight or they're going to the other F word. And there's often platonic male friendship is actually not shown a lot on stage or on film in a nuanced kind of way. And he really wanted to show that and also show people from two very disparate and very marginalized in both their different ways kind of coming together over fatherhood and parenthood.
Yeah, but I think that's a brilliant concept because I'm a gay man, but I have just as many straight friends as I do gay friends, as in men friends. Mm-hmm. And you know, like the relationship I have is really important with those straight friends.
Yeah.
You know, like they don't ask me about being gay. I don't ask them about being straight. Mm. It's just a friendship thing, and it's not talked about enough, is it? It's not shown enough.
No. And I think, you know, also this play really, it taps into how, you know, a lot of men, either straight or gay, still really struggle to talk about their feelings and open up to the people close to them.
Yep.
And this really goes out to the into that in a really nuanced and beautiful way. And I think and talking to your friends, one thing that someone brought up early in rehearsals, you know, they talked about, you know, often a lot of women, they'll talk, when they talk about their feelings, they talk face to face, and a lot of men talk shoulder to shoulder.
Mm.
And, you know, I think that speaks to how a lot of men really aren't comfortable still, even in this day and age, to really just completely open up.
Yeah.
And they go through that in this play, and they start to kind of explore that, and it's really beautiful.
And what about the person you're playing opposite? Mm-hmm. How did you come together on this, and how did you talk about it?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, it's been a hugely intimate process for the both of us because we're on stage for, I think the play is going to run for about 80 minutes, and we're on stage the whole time. I mean, we don't stop talking that whole time. And Gary Abrahams is directing it, who recently did Yentl at the Art Centre.
He's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely fabulous director. And, you know, so he approached both of us. You know, we're both ensemble members of Red Stitch, but he was like, I'd love to work with the both of you. And me and Kevin had never worked together. And then suddenly, you know, we're in a room and it's 5 days a week and we're just like bawling our eyes out doing these scenes and stuff. And it's you know, you build this incredible intimacy super quickly. But we've really bonded. It's been an incredible experience. I've, you know, in playing this friendship, I've actually found a friend myself, which is really beautiful.
Yeah. And I was sensing that as well, that what, you know, like when you said you were bonding and all that. Yeah, you would walk away from, you know, like this situation. So that's obviously going to show when you're up there, you know, presenting it to an audience.
I think so. I think, you know, I had a really wonderful acting teacher of mine say once that, you know, you have to create, you have to create the environment that you want to see out in the world in the rehearsal room. So treat people the way that you want to be treated in the rehearsal room, and it will show on the stage as well.
Yeah.
Create the culture wherever you are, you know. And so there's been a real, you know, we've really looked after, me and Kevin, we've had to look after each other because it's exhausting. I mean, we're doing it all day, you know, and the stuff, the topics that we're dealing with, he's a father as well. And it's, the play explores, you know, fostering to adopt and the harrowing experience that can be of, you know, trying to adopt a child. And, you know, he's playing this gay man that's really struggling with that experience. A lot of emotion gets brought up and we really need to look after each other. And we have been, and yeah. It's been really wonderful.
Yeah.
And I think it shows, it will show on stage.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I love about Red Suit as well is that everyone pulls to create the set as well.
Yeah.
So that's a nice touch as well.
Yeah. Look, we've got an incredible, set designer, and sound designer as well that are really creating. I mean, it's going to look fantastic. One thing that's really interesting about Red Stitch is it's so small.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is theater in close up, you know, like it's a 60 seat theater and you're really close to the actors. I mean, you can see the sweat in their brow, you know, you can feel their breath. It's like, it's that close. And, I think it, you know, it provides a particular challenge for sound designers and set designers to go, okay, how do we make an expansive world in a tiny space? And I'm really excited to see, what they've, because they've shown us the pictures of what they're going to do, and yeah. I am really excited.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Hey, just talking about, you know, like small theatre and La Mama is a small theatre as well, and they're closing down next year. They say it won't be forever. Mm. Hopefully it won't be. Mm. You know, like, is it a threat for, because Red Stitch is, you know, so well known here in Melbourne as well. Sure. How are you guys travelling on that front?
Yeah, you know, look, we're doing okay. We've got an incredible group of donors that have really supported us through. I mean, you know, COVID was really difficult.
Yes.
You know, theatre was the first thing to go and it was the last thing to come back.
Yep.
And I think that, you know, I'm not saying it's been easy. It's not. I mean, we've had to definitely shift. I think a lot of theatres have had to shift. The first show we did this year was a two-hander. This show is a two-hander. The show after this is a two-hander. You know, it's we want to be able to, you know, pay every creative properly on the shows. Yep. But if you've got an eight-person cast or a nine-person cast, that's really difficult.
Yep.
So theatre, you know, has had to respond to that. And I think a lot of theatre companies have had to make smaller, more intimate works with less actors to survive. And you know, the quality of work is still incredible, but we need the support of the community for sure. Mm. You know,
and people, if you're out there and you've got a few bucks to spare, you support somebody like Red Stitch. You know, like, and all you got to do is go to the website, which is redstitch.net, and of course you can buy your tickets there as well.
Yeah,
the season, well, there's a couple of previews from 13th to the 16th of April.
Yeah, pretty much sold out, which is awesome.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. That's what I like to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Season from 17th of April to 12th of May.
Exactly.
Right. What's it called again?
A Case for the Existence of God.
Right. A great name.
Yeah.
Darcy Kent, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.